time for overtime. Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen, and Sterling Bennett with analysis, sound from the locker room, and your reaction to the game. When the clock hits zero, we bring you overtime. Take it away, boys.
That's a little better. It's a lot better, actually. The 49ers beat the Patriots 30-13. Kyle Madsen here, Sterling Bennett there, Mark Grandy also in the building. Well, guys, I want to open this up to you first because, frankly, I'm still trying to figure out exactly how I feel right now. The 49ers go get a win. That's good. They needed to get back in the win column. They're 2-2 for the season, and they pretty thoroughly dominated that game, but I don't know where you guys land on this. It felt like they could have dominated it a little bit more, and maybe I'm being picky at this point, but happy with the win. Still feel like there's some things they got to clean up.
Yeah, I feel like if this was a win that was smack dab in the middle of like the Niners' five-game win streak last year, you'd feel a little bit unhappy about it because they had been so dominant. Like, you go back to last year, it was the Thursday night game, week three against the Giants, they dominated. Week five, Sunday night football, I think against the Cowboys, they won by like four touchdowns or whatever it was, almost five touchdowns. And if this performance, say, came on the heels of that, you'd be like, well, they didn't play very well today, but they still dominated a bad team, but because it comes off of a couple of losses, and last week one of the more uglier performances in Niners history, in recent history, I'm nothing but just happy that they got a win and got back to 500, because it was looking pretty ugly after last week in LA. So I'm happy for the win. You're right, it was kind of uneven at times. They could have certainly played better, but a win's a win. That's what they needed. They got out of here maybe healthy, which we'll keep an eye on as well when Kyle Shanahan talks. But
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed there. But yeah, a win's a win. Good to get back in the win column for the Niners. That's what they needed no matter what.
What do you think, Sterling?
They were desperate. They could have been 1-3 had they lost this game. Their playoff hopes would have fallen all the way to 13%.
Ugh.
And they said, wait a minute here. How about 42%? How does that sound for you? 2-2 feels a lot better than 1-3. After last week's loss, kind of like Mark said, it was like any means necessary.
Yeah.
May not have been pretty sometimes. At times it was okay. This feels kind of like last week. Patriots are still in this game. You know, what is San Francisco going to do here? They're letting New England hang around. But overall, 30-13, if that's how you're going to win, I think anybody right now would take that in a heartbeat over a loss in this one.
Yeah, it's hard to be picky. Right, like, that's kind of that's
we'll find
kinda
a way.
I went in. Well, I watched again Thursday, the Thursday night game between the Cowboys and the Giants. Right, and the Cowboys go win that one 20-15.
Ugly
and
went, game.
And it's just it's right. Terrible. It was just not a great football game. And I was looking at it and I'm going, man, if that's how the Niners win Sunday, I don't know that I'm going to be that thrilled. But it wasn't that drastic. They could have played better, but the way I'm looking at this is the Niners are still shorthanded. Like, that's something we have to remember here. Even more shorthanded defensively with no Fred Warner in
the
second half.
Yeah,
he came out. It was weird. He brought his helmet out, and he had his helmet on and was standing on the sideline.
He was in his pads the whole second half.
Yeah,
just never came on the field.
Yeah, very, very odd. But they're still shorthanded. They beat the heck out of a bad team. And that's, I think, the positive, but on the other hand, I think one of the things that was really good today was their defensive line, right? No Javon Hargrave, yeah, who's out for the year. They get 2.5 sacks from Kevin Givens. They get 1.5 from Malik Collins. Nick Bosa gets a sack. Evan Anderson, the rookie, the undrafted rookie, comes up with a strip sack. So that's great, but at the same time, I think where my feelings lie is, okay, that's awesome that the defensive line stepped up. They needed to, especially against a really bad offensive line. But how does that translate into next week when you go play the Cardinals, or the week after that when you play the Seahawks, or the week after that when you play the Chiefs?
Like, this was a game, and it's kind of similar to the Rams game last week, where you should be able to control the trenches and dominate. Now, this is a Patriots team who's maybe a little bit better in the trenches than that Rams team last week was, especially considering all the injuries to the Rams offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And even given the Javon Hargrave injury, you still felt like the Niners had the advantage. Nick Bosa finally got a sack down the stretch of that game, forced a fumble, and recovered the fumble himself.
He was asking himself for all of them.
He was so close, like five different times to getting a sack, and it was at the point, Kyle, you and I here in studio watching this game saying, like, Nick, like, at some point, you got to just get the quarterback on the ground, man. man. You gotta at some point.
Right.
He had his best game of the year. It only be one sack for him in this one. It goes with the strip sack, and he recovered the fumble. Really nice moment. He was really good throughout this game. It was a little frustrating because he couldn't get the quarterback on the ground, Brissett on the ground for most of the game, but he was good in this one. But again, it's coming from a position where the 49ers should be able to control this game on both sides of the football, and it just kind of felt like offensively and defensively, even with the sacks, it wasn't really like the Niners ever got into a rhythm. The offense was kind of stop and go, especially in the second half. The defense would play good on first down, good on second down, force the Patriots into a 3rd and 8, and the Patriots would convert. Like, it kind of was a step forward and a step back here and there. You win by 17, you can't be that upset, but it wasn't the most dominant, the most complete, a full 60 minutes of football game for the Niners. There's definitely pieces that we can pick apart, and we will before the day is over, but you got back in the win column, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think as this is, you're listening to Overtime on 95.7 The Game. Mark Grandy there, Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. 888-957-9570. If you want to join the program, you can give us a call. That's also the Xfinity mobile text line. Again, 888-957-9570. I think it's kind of interesting, Mark. You brought up how disjointed the offense felt, and then you go look, and they go field goal on their first two drives, where they get inside the Patriots 10 on both drives and can't punch it home. Then they finally go get a touchdown on a 95-yard drive that took forever to get into the end zone. Like, that was just there was the penalty on the Jordan Mason touchdown, the penalty on the Kyle Juszczyk touchdown. There was a penalty on an incompletion. Just like, dude, get in the end. And then they finally do with the incredible George Kittle, touchdown grab.
It took nearly a miracle to get in the end zone on offense.
Triple coverage, just playing three flies up out there saying, go get it, George.
That's what it was. I thought it was a great throw. And then you get a punt, and then they fumble the opening kickoff of the second half. Man. Did anyone, I want to pause there. Did anyone feel like, hey, this game might get sideways at that point? Or was that just me? Was that exclusive to me?
Once the Niners fumbled the opening kickoff of the second half, I mean, I wasn't ever concerned they were ever going to lose this game, but I was like, oh, this might not be pretty in the second half.
I was a little concerned. I was concerned.
I think you said something like this. There's a 31% chance they lose this game.
Yeah, I was like, I'm 31% that they're going to lose this game. No, but I think that's kind of what you're getting to. And then at the end of the game, so they punt twice to end the third quarter, but then they start the fourth quarter, and they're driving. They get the long completion to Juwan Jennings, and it looks like, okay, here they are. They're going to punch in a touchdown here. They're going to turn this one into a laugher. And then inexplicably, Brock Purdy puts up, I think, his worst throw of the day on the interception on the toss to Ayuk. That really felt like, to me, and I don't know about you guys, but that felt like, to me, a quarterback going, hey, I need to get this wide receiver involved. I need to get Brandon Ayuk a touchdown. I'm going to throw it up to him here, because there was just never a point where that felt like a good throw, Sterling.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird one. You just hit the big bomb to Jennings downfield. You're being aggressive downfield over and over and over again. I felt like it was an unnecessary throw to make. If you watch the game again, you can see the window in which Brock Purdy saw Ayuk was open for a split second. But once that safety gets back, it's like, hey, check it down, take it easy. You're in position to put this game away. Don't force anything. I thought that throw was Purdy being a little, a little too aggressive, trying to take advantage of what maybe wasn't there afterwards. But ultimately, I thought that it was Purdy saying, look, I've had so much success doing it all game. Why not? They're not going to score three times in the next 5 minutes while this defense is playing today. But still has probably a worst throw of the game, like you said, Kyle.
He had a couple of weird throws in this game. That was the only one that got picked off. But for the most part, he was really good in this one. The Ayuk thing is kind of weird. I was expecting a bigger Ayuk game, and he had the big, 38-yard catch
the first drive
of the game.
Yeah, first throw.
And I don't think he had another catch until the third quarter. He finishes with just 2 for 48, five targets. He was stuck on that one catch on one target, the 38-yard reception in the first quarter, for the first three quarters of this game. It wasn't just that he wasn't catching the ball. They weren't even looking for him. They weren't even targeting him at all. And at some point, if we do want to nitpick this game or nitpick this team, at some point, whether or not it's him not getting open or it's him getting open and Brock Purdy not seeing him or not throwing it to him for whatever reason, at a certain point, you're going to have the conversation of, well, this guy's making $30 million a year, and either he's not getting open, which is a problem, or he's getting open and you're not using him. What's the point of even paying him $30 million sure. if you're going to only complete two passes to him in this game? And I know it's just one game, and it's now the fourth consecutive kind of uneven performance, and that shouldn't be the focus today. The Niners put up 30 points. Jordan Mason was good. Juwan Jennings only three catches, but was awesome again in this one with a couple of amazing grabs. There's other things to be happy about. Deebo Samuel getting open down the field. George Kittle back, and he got a touchdown in this one. But the Ayuk, involvement in the offense continues to confuse me 4 weeks in.
Yeah, man, and I'm not really sure if that's just him and Purdy not being on the same page. Maybe it's something Ayuk mentioned this week, that teams are defending him differently. Maybe they're just taking away those in-breaking routes in the intermediate area that he's been so good on, and Purdy's just hesitant to pull the trigger. That's the other thing I wanted to get to with Brock Purdy is, does it feel to you guys like he's scrambling more because he's being less decisive? That's how it feels to me. Every time he scrambles, it looks like he's standing there in the pocket. There'll be the protection will be fine, and he's just hesitant to let it rip. And so he starts scrambling. And he'll throw it down the field, and of course we saw the couple of long throws: the one to Ayuk, the one to Jennings. He had a couple long ones to Jennings, the one to Deebo that really opened it up to take the top off the defense. But it just I'm not 100% sure yet how I feel about all the Purdy scrambling, because it's like that's a great part of his game and that's really cool. But on the other hand, is he leaving throws on the field because he's hesitating or because of what defenses are doing?
Oh, back to Ayuk. I'm pretty happy he wore the same shorts today that everyone else had on. But with Purdy, I think you may be onto something there, Kyle. We've grown to know the Shanahan offense to be so predicated on timing, things over the middle, slants, crossers, and everything seems to work over the middle of the field, where now it feels like there's more things towards the sidelines. There's more throws 35 yards downfield, over the safety's head, which really hasn't been a something we're accustomed to in a Shanahan offense. And maybe it is what Ayuk said of defenses are scheming against them differently than last year, and maybe that's the case. But I would also like to assume that not having Ayuk for an entire offseason, Debo's in and out of the lineup the first couple of weeks, and not even having Kittle for the game last week, you don't have your guys out there. It's hard to trust players like Ronnie Bell, who didn't play today, and hard to kind of get a timing with your stars and your wide receivers. So I would like to think it's just that simple, but we all know the NFL is much more complicated than that. So let's pray against the Cardinals next week that we see a lot of the Purdy decisiveness back on display against the really bad Cardinals defense. They got 42 points put up against them today by the Commanders.
The Commanders are looking good. Jaden Daniels is like setting records.
Cooking,
not just rookie records,
cooking,
but records. I think he has the highest completion percentage through four games of a season for any quarterback. Any, not just
crazy.
A rookie quarterback, but for any quarterback through four games of a season. He's been awesome. So good thing the Niners don't have the Commanders on the schedule next, because that might be a rough one for the defense. But on Brock Purdy and scrambling and extending plays, first of all, he's really good at it. He doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah.
Credit for how good he is at that. Kyle, you and I were talking off the air during the game. He gives the little pump fake, not even like a full pump fake, just a little bit of a shoulder, like he cocks it back just a little bit, and he gets the rushing defensive end or corner or whoever it is to jump, knock the pass down, and then he's got enough quickness to get around the edge and gain like an extra few yards. If it was easy, every quarterback would be able
to do it.
He does it as good as almost anyone out there. Now, to your question, Kyle, is he doing it because he's, a little bit worried to let it rip? Is the pressure breaking down? I honestly thought that he's extending plays that he doesn't necessarily need to extend, and it got to a point where Greg Olsen, who does a great job on Fox, saying, well, if you're the Niners, priority number one has to be figuring out the offensive line and protecting Brock. Mm-hmm. There were obviously some bad moments and moments where Purdy had to scramble. I thought for the most part, Purdy was scrambling for the hell of it. And maybe the protection was fine. Maybe it was no one getting open. Maybe he was feeling a little bit antsy. I'm not exactly sure. I thought he was scrambling as a result of other things other than the offensive line. Again, there were moments where the protection breaks down and he has to take off. I thought for the most part, though, the offensive line was okay, and it was more so Brock Purdy, for whatever reason, not liking what he saw in the first three seconds of the drop and then extending the play right or left, keeping his eyes downfield or running. It's a good thing to have in your bag, maybe not something you want to go to as often as Brock Purdy's been going to it, though.
888-957-9570, that's the phone number. That's also the Xfinity Mobile text line, 888-957-9570. Mark, I've got to ask you this on the fly here. I would like to take Autumn's call.
Yeah, I'll do that for you.
You do that for me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. Autumn is coming out of Levi's. Autumn, we can't figure out how we're feeling about the 49ers win. How are you feeling as you leave Levi's Stadium? Hey, Autumn. You're on overtime.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm on.
Yeah, you're my favorite season.
It's Adam, by the way.
Oh, Adam. Thanks, Adam. Sorry.
Wow.
So, I'm feeling great after that win. Like you said, a little rough after that fumble, but I'm still happy. I mean, I'm saying, why are we paying Brandon Ayuk so much money? Against the Rams, he had two or three? He was going insane against the Rams, and he's proved that he can be a great second option, like even maybe third. Mm-hmm. I'm still taking Debo, but $31 million for Ayuk, like, I know he just got back. He was pretty rusty from that. He was pretty rough from that contract negotiation, but Juan Jennings has been on fire lately.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thanks for the
call, Adam. As far as Ayuk goes and paying him $31 million, I'm not punting on that idea just yet. Ayuk was really good last year.
Yeah.
And I know that doesn't help this year, but I'm giving it another couple of weeks before I start wondering if Brandon Ayuk is ever going to be productive again. Like, we saw him in 2021. He's in the doghouse for the first like four games, and then he still almost had a 1,000-yard season. I'm still in on Brandon Ayuk. I'm not ready to punch just yet.
Why is it that Niner fans, like, we won by 23 today, and we're like, Brandon Ayuk didn't have 9 catches. Like, why is that the main takeaway of the game like
17.
This?
Don't add six more to that.
Math is hard. Sorry. But still, we won. We're 2-2, 500. You're in a good spot. Divisional game next week. Yeah, there are things to clean up, but you got a handful of sacks. Your defensive line was getting pressure. The offense, albeit, was stagnant at times, was pushing the ball down the field over and over and over again. And the first call is, well, Brandon Ayuk is not playing great yet. And they're right. Ayuk has not been a $30 million receiver at all this year. In fact, I would like to think that last year's week one against the Steelers is already, like, he has not surpassed that performance in total through four games than last year. Like, it's not been a smooth sailing offseason thus far. Then obviously short gate this past week's not been great, but like, there are so many better things to discuss and greater things to get into than why Ayuk wasn't great. Yep. Kittle was phenomenal today. The running game was really good outside of Mason's two fumbles, but he was getting 10-plus yards, felt like, consistently on the ground. And Purdy, again, was also really good. Yeah, Ayuk wasn't great, but he won by 17, not 13. It's even better.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know what, Sterling, I'm glad you bring that up, because the more we talk about this and the more we kind of go through this, I think what happened was, going into this week, everything was so, like, there was so much angst with the 49ers, right? Based on how the last two games had gone. And I think I just have residual angst. I think that's what's happening here, because, Sterling, you said it. They win by 17, okay? They go 7 of 13 on third down. They outgained the Patriots by 215 yards.
They doubled them up.
And ran two fewer plays. That's insane. They held the Patriots to 3.5 yards per play. I don't care what offense you're facing. You hold an offense to 3.5 yards per play, that's incredible. The 49ers averaged 7.2 yards per play. That's an outstanding number. Like, you start to go through it, it's like, oh, if you take away the one interception and you turn that into a touchdown drive instead, like the entire tenor of the game feels so much different.
Yeah, and we're kind of burying some of the other news. This is obviously more pregame news and weekend news leading up to the game. Obviously, there's the whole story about McCaffrey, and maybe the Niners are ramping him up beginning tomorrow, and maybe he's back sooner than we expected. Okay, put that on the back burner. It's kind of still a big question mark at this point. But Debo returned today. I think I guaranteed that he would limp off the field at some point because that's what happens. Maybe I missed it. I didn't see him limp off the field. That's a plus.
Yep.
Trent Williams was dealing with a little bit of an illness early in the week, then a toe injury. He played and seemed fine. Didn't see him have to go back and get an IV at any point. George Kittle missed last week against the Rams. He returned, as Sterling said, looked really good. 4 catches, 45 yards, and a touchdown. The Niners have like already 5 insane catches this season. That George Kittle one might have been the best of the ball, considering it went for a touchdown. He was awesome in this game. He also changes the run game. He does not get enough credit. We all throw out, well, he's the best two-way tight end, catching and blocking. We kind of just throw out the blocking part because we know he's good at it, but you don't really see what he does unless you're really paying attention to it.
Yeah.
Or you see him, you see what it looks like when he's on the field and what it looks like when he's not. You got that perfect comparison last week to this week. The run game was much better this week, 5.1 per carry. Against a Patriots defense, by the way, that isn't bad. Like, this is a pretty good defensive unit. Remember week one, they go into Cincinnati and absolutely shut down Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and that offense. This is a pretty good defensive unit. The Niners put up 30 points on them. So there's plenty to be happy about, and when you look at it through the prism of you just lost consecutive games on the road, return home, get a little bit healthier, you stay healthy, get some home cooking going, just get that bad taste out of your mouth and get to the next week relatively healthy. You hope there's nothing bad with Fred Warner. We'll hear from Kyle Shanahan later on during the show, but you guys are right. Plenty to be happy about, and there's plenty of time to dissect Ayuk's performance in detail a little bit later.
You perfectly opened up what I want to discuss next, and that is what the 49ers did down the field today. It felt like every drive they had on offense up through the first 3 weeks felt so difficult. Like, every drive felt like, man, 12-play touchdown drive, 15-play touchdown drive, 10-play touchdown. It felt like everything was like was just so uphill. And then today, you see a 53-yarder to Debo Samuel. You get 45-yarder to Juwan Jennings. You get a 38-yarder to Brandon Ayuk. It felt like they were making a conscious effort to try and create more explosive plays. And if they're going to start doing that, you'll see the return of the 49ers offense all the way, because that's just kind of what's been missing for me. And I thought it was kind of a deliberate thing today that they went out and aim to take the top off the Patriots defense.
Which they tried that against the Rams last week, and sometimes it worked, and it wasn't consistent enough to work all the time. But the Patriots are banged up on both sides of the football, and San Francisco knew that coming in and said, look, we're going to take chances today. Mm-hmm. And the difference is they have the personnel to do that and actually win the battles like that.
Yep.
And you kind of wanted to see more of that against the Rams that are really banged up and still are. They lost today, thankfully. But the Niners today in this one, I thought, really walked into Levi saying, look, you got to put up or shut up. And today it was, look, we're going to put up. We're going to put up 30 points. We're going to put up home run balls left and right. We're going to let our stars lead us to victory. And Brock Purdy was a main part of that. I think Shanahan, last year you saw it a lot late in the season, but so far with Chris McCaffrey out, Debo Samuel missing time, George Kittle missing time, Ayuk kind of being on and off the field, like, Kyle Shanahan has full, complete trust in a quarterback for the first time ever in his tenure in San Francisco, and you see it every single game now. He's dropped back 5 wide, first down, third down, does not matter. Purdy, full go, win me this football game, and it's really nice to see.
Yeah, and I also think it's, in terms of the national discourse on Brock Purdy, and that's like a battle that we'll probably be fighting for the rest of his career.
Until he hangs him up.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll never win that.
Never. It doesn't seem like it. But the national discourse around Brock is still, he's a product of the system, a product of the weapons, and, you know, he just drops it off to Debo underneath, and Debo will turn a 5-yard gain into a 25-yard gain. First of all, that was not even the case last year when the Niners were healthy for the vast majority of the season. You watch today's game. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, and it probably takes a little bit for them to come out, but like average depth of target, A-dot for Brock Purdy today, I'm sure near the top of the league for week four. Like, he's throwing the ball down the field over and over and over again, and it wasn't his most efficient day, 15 for 27 passing, but all you need to know, 15 completions for nearly 300 yards. Like, he was getting big chunks every time he completed a pass, and it's something you pointed out, Kyle, earlier this year. Without Christian McCaffrey, the offense, it's kind of strange. They're still like at the top of the league in terms of explosive plays, runs of 10 or more yards, and passes of 20 or more yards, but they're nowhere near where they were last year.
Right.
They like lapped everyone last year for explosive plays.
Yep.
They're still near the top of the league, but not quite on pace from where they were last year, and McCaffrey's a huge part of that. But Purdy is showing that he can do that and lead an explosive offense even without McCaffrey. And that's why the touchdown drive in the second half, what was it, four plays, 70 yards in less than 2 minutes, that felt like last year. Because you got big chunk, big chunk, big chunk, touchdown.
It felt like last year, but looked very different.
Yeah. There's no McCaffrey involved.
Right, right. And that's what you're seeing, the Niners offense kind of evolve, and Sterling, you said it. It's really clear that Kyle Shanahan trusts the quarterback to go seven-step drop, five-step drop, and push the ball down the field. All right. 888-957-9570. This is Overtime. Mark Grandy, Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. Let's get to Theo in the East Bay. He wants to talk about Brock Purdy airing it out. Theo, what you got?
So, boys, thanks for taking my call. Great win today. I mean, this was what you call a get-right game for the 49ers, and I feel like they did that. Came out there and asserted their dominance. But Brock Purdy, man, I mean, all bets are off now. I mean, you can pretty much take it to the bank. He's our franchise quarterback. I know people have had their doubts and stuff like that, especially early on this season. But he's working with Juwan Jennings and Deebo Samuel. Those two big plays down the field, it's good to see, especially when Kyle's putting his trust in him to air it out like that a few times a game.
Yep.
I mean, it looks good. And especially with now the defense getting locked in. I know Fred Warner probably had a little back issue. Hopefully he's all right. But that's what you wanted to see from a complete football team, especially against a weaker opponent. So I think, you know, all those other conversations, especially about Brandon Ayuk, they'll come later. But this is what you wanted to see out of what, you know, the 49ers should be. And you know what? I tip my hat off to Kyle Shanahan for letting Brock Purdy kind of let his do his thing today. And it was a good win.
Yep.
Cheers, boys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Theo. Yeah, it's just I think that's it. I think at this point, Mark, we were saying it time and time again in the studio. Brock Purdy's just good, dude. Like, he just makes the right plays. Is he ever going to throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns? Like, no. No, and honestly, Patrick Mahomes probably won't do that again. But he's going to make the right play. On third and short, you feel really good that they're going to convert, whether it's with his legs or with his arm. He's throwing at different arm angles. He's using pump fakes. He's throwing the ball down the field. I thought that two of the bad throws today looked like a miscommunication with Juwan Jennings, where both times Jennings stopped his route when it looked like Purdy was expecting him to keep going. That was kind of odd. But dude, he just how many times during a game? And I think that this is a part of quarterback play that has just gone a little bit by the wayside when we analyze what we're watching with quarterbacks. How often does he just make the right play?
The vast majority of snaps.
Yeah, or vice versa. How many times a game are you like, ooh, like that was ugly? Like maybe once? Where it's just like, oh, that was a really bad play. Like the interception to Ayuk. Like that wasn't, that was late throw, underthrown, just not a good ball. But otherwise, he's playing the position at a really, really high level. And I think with Christian McCaffrey out, and not that Jordan Mason is bad. I saw a tweet from somebody at Pro Football Focus that said, oh, Jeff Deeney from Pro Football Focus, Jordan Mason's on pace for 1,900 rushing yards this year. So it's not like they've abandoned the run game. It just looks a little bit more like your traditional drop back and pass offense because teams defend them a little bit differently when Christian McCaffrey's not on the field.
Yeah, you don't have the McCaffrey cheat code available to you anymore.
And they're still productive.
Yeah, and you got to kind of do stuff a different way. Yeah, you put up 30 points against this New England defense. You put up 32 week one against a good Jets defense. Although the Jets today, my God, losing at home to Bo Nix and the Broncos. Bo Nix.
Don't lie, Mark. You're sitting there saying, go Ducks, oh, brother.
No doubt, but that was
ugly. They were a quality negative 7 yards in the first half.
Bo Nix threw for negative 7 yards in the first half, and the Broncos won that football game.
Insane.
60 passing yards in total, and the Broncos beat the Jets. So maybe that week one win for the Niners over the Jets isn't quite as impressive as we first thought it was going to be. We'll see how it plays out as the season goes on. But the Niners' offense is having to do it in a different way. One other area that I thought was really encouraging for the 49ers moving forward, and this is if McCaffrey continues to be out for a while or even if he returns, knowing that you have Jordan Mason there, and by the way, developing as a pass catcher as well.
Yeah.
Quietly today, out of the backfield, and I know you, on a personal level, Kyle, were happy about this one.
Boy, was I.
He had two catches for 37 yards, and he got robbed of a touchdown reception because of a interesting holding call against George Kittle.
Bad holding call. We'll call it bad. We can't get fined.
George Kittle made the best of it because he then turned that into his crazy touchdown catch. Second time a Niner pass catcher has held on a touchdown and then turned it into a touchdown themselves, by the way, going back to Debo week one. But Mason developing as a pass catcher as well, and he'll never be McCaffrey. That's not my point here. But he's developing in front of our eyes, as you would expect. He's getting his first real consistent run as a pro. And you mentioned he's on pace for nearly 2,000 rushing yards this season and is not incapable of helping out in the passing game as well. So that's another positive for the 49ers offense as they try to continue to live in a world without McCaffrey for the time being.
I thought that play that got called back for the touchdown was like exactly what they need from a pass catcher who's not Christian McCaffrey. Because Christian McCaffrey could go be a Pro Bowler as a slot receiver, right? Like, that's what everybody says. If he just moved a wide receiver and played that, he could go do that. I'm not saying Jordan Mason's going to do that. But can you route up a linebacker and get open in the middle of the field and then run after the catch? Like, I think that's it. That's all they need, right? I think they should do it more often. Just run the touchdown to Jordan Mason play. And then don't have George get a hold at the end. Just come on. Seems like pretty simple work. Overall, though, I think they left a couple of plays on the field, and I think that's kind of what I'm harping on right now. But the more, like I said, the more we talk about this, the more I'm having trouble poking holes in what the Niners did offensively today. I thought they were really, really good. And if anything, I think what this does is this stabilizes a team that was a little bit in a free fall. And we'll have to see. Kyle Shanahan said that they don't believe it's an ACL for Jordan Elliott, which would be good news. They said they still have to run some more tests. And then Fred Warner tried to go in the second half, which is why he came out with his helmet, had his helmet on, but just couldn't get it right. So we'll get some more info on that hopefully tomorrow when Kyle Shanahan talks with reporters on a conference call.
Really quick, Fred Warner was on Niners socials running off the field after the game. So they're posting Fred Warner running off the field. It's nothing, would be my guess.
Do we think, okay, conspiracy theory time. Do we think that it wasn't good to go because it was the Patriots? Like, they kind of looked at the direction they saw, they thought the game was going, and went, hey, you can just, does it hurt a little? Okay, then just sit.
Like a basketball coach playing the score in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Steph Curry sits with 10 minutes to go up by 20. The lead gets down to 8. Oh, you got to put him back in.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Jeez, Mark.
I'm serious. I think that's what happened.
It's like every night.
Yeah.
Am I wrong to think that the way the Niners are currently playing are how the McVay Rams have played the last few years offensively, where the entire offense goes through Matthew Stafford, but they have running backs that can do things like Jordan Mason, Kyren Williams in previous years. It was Sony Michel and others, Cam Akers for a year or two in L.A. The offense, because it has to be currently, feels very much like a Rams offense the past couple years, where it's like, hey, Stafford, drop back 35 times, different arm slots, throw it to Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua and win us this game. And now Shanahan's like, hey, Birdie, go out there and do whatever you have to win this football game. And you're not going to have 100-plus yard receivers every single week, but you're going to be able to get it done with the weapons you currently have.
Yeah. I think so. I also think there's this would be an easier conversation to have, or maybe you would be more likely to get an honest answer out of Shanahan if the team wasn't 2-2 and kind of fighting for, not their life, but trying to make sure that they have a chance still to win the division and get, you know, a top seed in the NFC and all that, because that's still all on the table right now. The NFC despite a couple of undefeated teams, the Vikings look real good. They're now 4-0. They beat the go into Lambeau and Vikings, boat raced them in the first half. It got a little hairy in the second half, but they still won that game. They're 4-0. The Seahawks, they play tomorrow. They're 3-0. So those are the only two undefeated teams in the NFC right now. You have all that in front of you. But I also think there's part of Kyle Shanahan who probably really enjoys the challenge is probably the right word, but there's also something else in here, like learning a little bit more about Brock Purdy and seeing what he can do without Christian McCaffrey and last week without Deebo Samuel and without George Kittle. I know that was kind of a talking point in terms of the national media wondering if Brock can do it without those guys, but maybe there's also a little bit of Kyle who's thinking like, all right, I have my beliefs. I think Brock's the guy. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. When we have to pay him $60 million a year, and that means saying bye to so X, Y, and Z, I still think we'll be good because I know Brock is good. But I think there might be a part of Kyle who's kind of enjoying this process right now because maybe it's easier for him to kind of test and see what limitations Brock has, if any. He can just like kind of figure it out on the fly. It becomes easier if you're winning games and you're ahead and you can kind of play it that way. So it makes it a little bit tough when you're 1-2 going into nearly a must-win game in week 4. But I think Shanahan might be enjoying trying to test the limits a little bit of what this offense can be, led by Brock specifically.
That's kind of interesting. Because I know he's always said he prefers coaching the run game. But at the same time, I don't know that there's... I don't know if there's ever been a situation where he has a quarterback who's going to make $60-plus million dollars and they're going to have to kind of change the entire complexion of their team around him. So maybe you're right. Maybe we're going to see a little bit something different from Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers offense. But I really, they threw the heck out of it today. They ran the heck out of it today. Like, they were just firing on all cylinders against a defense that hadn't been bad to this point.
Until they get into the red zone.
It's been tough. 888-957-9570 is the phone number. That's also the Xfinity mobile text line, 888-957-9570. Jeff, listening all the way out in Rhode Island, believes that the 49ers let the Pats hang around too long. Jeff, we've let you hang around too long. Thanks for sticking with us on Overtime. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Love the show. I love listening to you, obviously, from 3,000 miles away.
My man.
The talk here about Brock Purdy is they think he's the real deal locally. You know, I mean, we have Scott Zolak who does the Patriots radio, and he's a huge fan. And I guess this regarding today's game, I'm glad they won. I'm glad the defense. I'm glad Nick Bosa, you know, made a big appearance this week. My thing is, I still have a little angst hangover. I think it was probably after the first two drives that they didn't punch it in and just put the Patriots away right off the bat. But I know everyone is gonna beat on Brandon Ayuk, but that's gonna be the stigma for him, unfortunately, for the rest of this contract. When you're making $30 million, it doesn't matter how good he is. They're gonna say he has to be that good because he's making 30. So it's kind of like he's never gonna win because when you make that money, you're expected to produce big numbers. And when you don't, they're saying, why are you paying them? So, I mean, that's kind of what you sign up for in that case. So, I mean, eventually it's going to, you know, he's going to come through. This offense is going to come through. And I was just listening to you guys. And no word yet on Fred Warner?
No, just that he's got an ankle thing. No word yet on the extent of the injury.
Yeah, so I'm feeling much better than I thought I was going to think after the first two first two drops. And I think I'm going forward. You know, I mean, you know, we should probably start ramping up this offense a little bit too, and the defense. So I think we're in good shape. I was panicked last week, but this week I'm feeling a lot better about the team.
No doubt. Thanks so much, Jeff. Anybody with that accent that wants to call this program, please do. 888-957-9570 is the phone number. That's also the Xfinity mobile text line. I want to run something by you guys real quick on Brandon Ayuk, who had two catches for 48 yards today. Had the 38-yarder. And then he had what I believe to be like a Brandon Ayuk-style catch.
Awesome diving catch at the line.
Yeah, beats Christian Gonzalez, lays out, like makes a diving catch. It looked exactly like the touchdown we saw against the Eagles last year.
Yeah.
in the back of the end zone. That, like, that's just kind of when I envision Brandon Ayuk, that's the type of catch I envision him making. Here's what some other top receivers have done when matched up against Christian Gonzalez this year. Jamar Chase, 3 catches for 15 yards on 3 targets. DK Metcalf, 4 catches for 27 yards on 7 targets. And then Garrett Wilson got him for a touchdown and 33 yards on 5 catches and 9 targets. Like, Christian Gonzalez is a really good player for the Patriots. And I think that had something to do with the lack of Brandon Ayuk's presence today. Hey, that's just kind of what Christian Gonzalez does, and the 49ers have the weapons to beat other players in the Patriots secondary, and they took advantage of that.
I'd have to look at how the snaps broke down, because I know at least a handful of times Gonzalez was matched up on Debo when Debo was lined up as a wide receiver. So he kind of split. If Debo was off the field or lined up in the backfield, Gonzalez would move over to Ayuk, but there were a handful of times where Gonzalez was matched up on Debo. I think you're right, though. He's a great corner. I don't need to hide my fandom for him because he's an Oregon Duck. Yes, go Ducks, second year out of Oregon. But that's certainly part of it. And the Niners are at a point where this is where maybe some fans get frustrated, because you're paying the guy $30 million, and if you're just going to use him as a decoy, I guess is what some people will say, he's not worth paying $30 million to. But if you've got a great corner on the other side, and you have a good receiver who is taking that guy away, and you have others that can then benefit from that, that's worth a lot. Like, that's valuable to have on your team. Just take one of the best corners in the league away and open up the rest of the field. That is valuable in and of itself.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan said during the offseason as to why they didn't go, you know, sign or draft higher offensive linemen. They wanted the weapons. They went out and they got Garendo and drafted Cowling and Pearsall. There's a reason why you pay Debo and Kittle and Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey. It's for games like this, when the opposing cornerback, who's phenomenal, can quote-unquote erase your star receiver. Well, you're paying two other guys the highest-rated money in football to go out there and win their matchups. So, yeah, it's Christian Gonzalez, but ultimately Kyle Shanahan's like, great, go erase Ayuk, fine. I have Kittle and Debo and Juwan Jennings to do their jobs as well. Try to beat us and you just can't.
The 49ers offense, very good today. The defense, also very good. Will we continue seeing that moving forward? We'll talk about some of the defensive highlights from today. And, of course, we'll talk about Fred Warner's injury as well. He missed the second half with an ankle injury. All of that coming up next on Overtime here on 95.7 The Game.